Chapter 4, Prophecies Concerning Egypt. The next early nation to be considered in our examination of the prophetical parts of the scripture is that of the Egyptians. These were the descendants of another son of Ham, named Mizraim. The Philistines were one line of descent from Mizraim, as we are told in 1 Chronicles 1 verse 12. But we gather that the Egyptians belonged to another line from this son of Ham because of the name given by the Canaanites to the place where Jacob was mourned by his children with a grievous mourning. They called the name of it Abel Mizraim, which means the mourning of the Egyptians. They are one of the first great nations referred to in the Bible, and were one of the earliest to rise to power and to a high degree of civilization. They had their ruling king or pharaoh in the days of Abraham, when he went down into Egypt to escape the famine which afflicted the land of Canaan. In the days of Joseph, we are given a good insight into the ways and customs of the people of Egypt, and the power and authority which their rulers exercised over them. The descent of Jacob and his sons into the land also has made us familiar with the Egyptians and the pharaohs of those times. The greatness of Egypt is reflected in the wonderful works of art and massive structures which have been preserved to the present day. Whether we survey the enormous pyramids or the ruins of temples and palaces, or whether we examine the golden and jeweled relics which have been discovered in their tombs, we must be deeply impressed with the high level of culture and civilization which characterized this great nation. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds, and how this fitted him, in a natural way, to become the scribe of the Lord to write the first 5 books of the Bible. The early stepped pyramids, which resembled the Tower of Babel, must have been erected soon after the great flood, as the various peoples with their different languages spread abroad from early Babylon, and the Egyptians in particular settled along the banks of the River Nile. Later pharaohs filled in the steps to make perfect pyramids, the largest of which at Gizeh is 120 feet higher than St. Paul's Cathedral, and is composed of over 2 million huge blocks of stone, each weighing between 2 and 3 tons. These would have been standing when Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt and came into contact with one of the great pharaohs of the Middle Kingdom. In the times of Joseph and of Israel's descent into Egypt, there was an usurping foreign power called the Hyksos in occupation. But in course of time, these were driven out by the true Egyptians, and there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Then there followed the great oppression of the Israelites and the destruction of the male infants, from which Moses was providentially preserved, and being found by one of the princesses, was brought up in the royal court. At this period, Egypt rose to its greatest extent as an empire, and their conquests extended as far as the river Euphrates. But when the 400 years affliction of Israel in Egypt, as foretold to Abraham, had ended, they were brought out by the mighty hand of the Lord, plaguing Pharaoh and his people, and overthrowing them in the Red Sea, while Moses and the Israelites passed over on dry land. From that time onwards, Egypt continued to be one of the great nations of the earth, with varying prosperity and decline, until the Assyrian Empire rose to prominence and became a very powerful rod in the hand of God to punish Israel and the other peoples of that day. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this in his 19th chapter, and after foretelling the punishment both of Assyria and Babylon, he takes up his burden of prophetical judgments which were to come upon Egypt. The burden of Egypt: Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. This was fulfilled in the days when Assyria began to invade the 10 tribes of Israel and took Samaria, leading away thousands of the people into captivity. At that time, Egypt became divided one against the other and was torn by civil wars, rival thrones being set up in various places in the land. Then, having subjugated the 10 tribes of Israel, Assyria, under the rule of Sennacherib, extended their conquests into Judah, taking several of the cities of Judah and threatening Jerusalem itself in the days of Hezekiah. Egypt came to the assistance of the Jews, but it was not their help that brought deliverance, but the miraculous interposition of the Lord in answer to the prayers of Isaiah and Hezekiah, which turned Sennacherib back by the way he had come, with terrible losses in his army. This gave a reprieve to Judah, and, of course, Egypt escaped also at that time. But the further prophecies of Isaiah must soon be accomplished, as he foretold the entry of Assyria into Egypt. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners, and the Ethiopians captives. So we find Sennacherib's son Esarhaddon invading Egypt, while his successor Ashurbanipal reached as far south as Thebes, destroying much of the royal city and its idolatrous temples. None were so cruel and fierce as the Assyrians in their terrible invasions of the nations, against whom they were sent as a divine punishment. Then came the predicted judgments of the Lord upon Assyria, which was itself destroyed and overthrown, as we have already considered, and we find Egypt at this juncture advancing under Pharaoh Necho as far as the river Euphrates again. King Josiah, who resisted this Egyptian invasion, was slain in the Battle of Megiddo, and Necho, returning from his conquest, took the succeeding king of Judah captive into Egypt. But this was only a short reprieve for Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar now rose to great power in Babylon and was to be used against Egypt in the divine purposes, as Jeremiah had foretold in his prophecies. At Tapanes in Egypt, Jeremiah had been told to hide great stones in the brick kiln at the entry of Pharaoh's house, and then to utter the words of the Lord, "Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and he will set his throne upon 3 stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt. Again, Jeremiah forewarns them. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. And yet again as follows, The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, Behold, I will punish the multitude of No, and Pharaoh, and Egypt, with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and all them that trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants, and afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. So it came to pass in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, who advanced into Judah and took Jerusalem, leading great numbers of the Jews captive to Babylon. He also was used of the Lord to punish Tyre, and for this service he was given the land of Egypt as his wages. Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages of his army. Judah was held in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and were then restored to their own land. So Egypt also was scattered and dispersed among the nations for 40 years, and were then gathered back again to their own land. Yet thus saith the Lord God, At the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered, and I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. It shall be the basest of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations. So in the course of time, Babylon was taken by Cyrus, who made the decree that the Jews should return to Jerusalem, and it would seem to be at the said time that the Egyptians were also gathered back into their own land. But although they were thus restored, they were subjects of the Persian Empire, which had now succeeded the Chaldean Empire, and in this sense they were a base kingdom, and have continued to be so to the present day. But there is a difference in this respect between Egypt and the other two nations which we have previously considered, namely Assyria and Babylonia. The prophecies concerning the latter were that they should be made utterly desolate, not to be raised up again, and thus they have continued to this present day. But Egypt was to be gathered again as a nation, although a base kingdom compared with that preeminence which they had in earlier days. The future course of Egypt after their return from captivity agrees with this prophecy. At first, they were subject to the Persians, but when Alexander the Great conquered the Persian Empire and set up the Grecian one of his generals named Ptolemy was set up over Egypt. There followed a measure of prosperity under the reign of this and succeeding Ptolemies, who built the city of Alexandria as their capital. Yet they were merely a part of the Grecian Empire. It is true that Alexandria became a great center of learning and possessed a library containing some 700,000 volumes or rolls. but the whole of these were destroyed by fire. This took place in the first instance when the Grecian Empire gave place to the Roman. While Julius Caesar was making war on Alexandria, one part of the library comprising 400,000 volumes was burnt and destroyed. Again, when the Saracens occupied the city, the remainder of the library was used for heating the baths of the city, which we are told numbered 4,000, and 6 months' heating was obtained from the use of the library manuscripts. After the Saracens, there followed the rule of the Mamluks and the Turks, so that Egypt continued to be a base kingdom, and Christianity gave place to Mohammedanism. The idols of Egypt were also spoiled accordingly to prophecy, and the remains of some of their colossal statues, sitting with their hands upon their knees, gazing vacantly before them, much weather-beaten and damaged, and with their feet often paddling in the Nile overflow, are a telling commentary upon this aspect of the prophetical scriptures concerning the gods of Egypt.